Excellent. Well, we're starting a new series. Let's put the first slide up this morning. So we are starting this morning a series on Philippians. Where's the actual first? I had that team photo with the Fremantle Dockers that didn't quite make it to the grand final. Where's that one? Oh, was that on the website, was it, Dave? That's all right then. It's all good. Leave it there. Did you see it on the website? You probably did anyway, so that's cool. So, unity of purpose, the book of Philippians. Who enjoys the book of Philippians? Who's read it recently? Anyone? Oh, well, that would be good. So, it'll help a little bit. I'll just put my glasses on my head in case I need them. Let me just read you the first verse on Philippians. I want to talk this morning about together. Basically, the title of my message this morning is Together. Who knows that things work better when we do them together? Things work much better, don't they? Whether it's together in unity as a married couple. What a beautiful young couple they are.
Thank you.
Yana, what's happening? Where's Ian? Oh, yeah. These two got a great relationship as well, as you can see. they really do. Greg and Chris, look at that. Beautiful. Together, hey. How good is it? Together. Oh, Ross and Mary, fantastic. Hey, awesome. I'm not going to embarrass anyone anymore. They're all looking at me like, what are you going to do next, Nigel? I'm not worried about this. Philippians 1:1 says this. Good morning, Erica. Nice to see you. It's good news about Chloe. It's fantastic. So this letter is from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Jesus Christ, Philippians 1:1. I'm going to talk about the slaves bit in another message. But Paul founded the church in Philippi and on his second missionary journey, and this one being special because it was their first time into Europe. And it was unplanned, as we're going to find out a bit today. Who knows that some things are unplanned when we actually operate under the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to look today, not at Philippians, in fact, but we're going to go to the story where the Philippian church was planted, and we'll take up the offering, James, at the end of the meeting. Thank you for reminding me. And so that was really subtle, and well done. And so Philippians 1:1, here we are in Acts 16, we actually see the journey of how the church started. And I guess Andrew and I actually planted this church with Charlie and Helen, who are still on their long service leave. How are you going at home without any food? Hey, Jordan? You're surviving. Oh, I bet you're looking forward to Mum's home cooking. Oh, yeah. AJ, are you fading away? So, and Brianna, of course, so they're about halfway through their long service trip. They're in Italy somewhere, having a ball, I'm sure. Who's glad we can send our people on trips like this and then let them have a great time so they come back refreshed and blessed? So that's fantastic. But I was getting to the point where I don't know if Mike's here. Mike O'Neill's here this morning. He's been helping at Port Care this week. And Oni, still part of our church. And Dom Sneak, who just did soap, actually. And Deanne, who started the church with us originally. And, of course, we've got great people that have been with us for a long time now. Greg and Caroline being some of those and some others as well. I'm going to miss names, so I'll stop right there. But it has, to me, this book, as I've looked at it, it's very much some similarities to us planting our church here in Fremantle. Now, I guess we planted a service 16 years ago and planted the church somewhere about, I don't know, probably 5-6 years after that. But Paul founded the church in Philippi on his second missionary journey. And he was, let me read you this statement, and some of it I've got from a commentator, and some of it from John Stott, which I'll read to you. 20 centuries ago, an itinerant tent maker was tossed into prison for creating a public disturbance. The letter he wrote would have taken up a dozen sheets of thick, scratchy paper. Today, few people would recognize the name of the Roman emperor at the time. And although Nero was a prolific author, nothing of his literary output remains. Paul's name, on the other hand, is instantly recognized by millions. and existing copies of his letter to the Philippians in many languages run easily into the millions. The time has come when people call their dogs Nero and their sons Paul. Paul was a remarkable apostle. A gifted leader, a writer who was completely in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and the development of his church. Anyone here love the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Anyone here want to see the church develop? Yeah, you know, I'll get to it in a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself. But it is quite incredible. And the best place to start Philippians, as I said, is Acts 16. So come with me. Acts 16, verse 9, I want to give my first point. Together in the Holy Spirit. You know, it's not just about being together and being in unity. When we got the power of the Holy Spirit, it goes up a whole nother level. And so this morning, in Acts 16, verse 9, that night Paul had a vision. He saw a man from Macedonia in northern Greece pleading with him, "Come over here and help us." So in the middle of the night, Paul is actually stopped. He is stopped a few times from going into different Asian countries and then thinks, "Well, Lord, what are you wanting us to do?" And he has a vision in the middle of the night. He talks with his three people that are with him on the trip, and they agree unanimously together, "We've got to go." This is obviously the Lord saying, "We've got to go to Macedonia." And so the next morning, Paul talks with his companions. Like I just said, and they go on this journey together. And it takes quite a while. And, you know, when you actually operate together and you actually get witness together in the Holy Spirit, that creates unity. Do you hear what I'm saying? You know, we can actually miss it sometimes because we think that we've got it right. We think we've heard from God, but we fail to actually listen to other people. Who knows that the Holy Spirit always confirms it through others? And so when we want to do something, isn't it great to actually get other people, whether it be in your connect group, whether it be in church, whether it be some leadership, whether it be even in my case when I planted the church with Andrea and the team, we got outsiders, because when you get everyone saying, "Nigel, I reckon this is God," what are you going to do? You're going to do what God wants you to do, and you're going to go for it, and you've got support, and you've got spiritual support. How important is that? And so major decisions that have effect on building the house of God in any way, whether it being buying a business. Who'd like to be in business here this morning or has business? Yeah, Erica, someone knows some of you others. You've got your own businesses this morning. I know a number of people away. And there's also, please keep praying for Morena. She's actually still ill. She still has the flu a week later. I'd love to see her back at work tomorrow, wouldn't we, guys? Those of us that are here, yeah. So that'd be, please pray for her. You know, whether it be a house, you know, a house can have significance on lifting your eyes to a greater future. It might be a different income stream, but it's also great to respond to other things. I remember when I was leading the Men's Connect group, which is now run. Who's actually the leader? Is it Roy still? Is Roy still the boss? Okay, so Roy's still the boss, and so of the Men's Connect group, and I asked a few of those men, including one of my unchurched real estate men at the time, actually, who was part of that group, and actually said, "Should I buy this really old house that needed a lot of work in South Fremantle?" Some of you have been there, you would remember it, and it had fallen through at auction because it was in a bit of a dilapidated. You know, it wasn't all that, it needed a fair bit of work. Jared remembers. But it was really going to be a stretch because we were living in White Gum Valley and we were going to move down to South Fremantle, only 400 metres to the beach. But it was an old house, and so I just thought we'd better get some advice. And unanimously, they all said, "Just do it." And I thought, well, I'm going to take that. I'm going to be bold. I'm not backward and going forward. So I bought this place. You know, when I bought that, it was the biggest mortgage I've ever had. It was a stretch. Sometimes when you take a stretch, sometimes when you, but when you've got the backing of good people that you trust, who are part of your, whether your connect group or others around, when you've got their backing, you can actually, you can know that you're moving not just on your own, but you know that at least you're believing that God is in that move, yeah? And so we made that move. And sure, it was at times it was a stretch, and there was cockroaches to sort out and all sorts of things, because, you know, that was just one of those houses and the roof leaked and all sorts of things. But you know what? It gave me the eyes to see this building and purchase this facility, because I could now see not only in hundreds of thousands but millions. And so because we made that stretch, because we made that, which was a huge stretch for me then, I was nervous. We didn't have as many people in our church then, but through that stretch, and I remember my brother-in-law, who I think's gone next door to help with the kids, who's here, Julian, and actually saying to me, let's go have a look at this building. And it wasn't long before we were able to expand, and we've got a childcare centre. And because of that, what happened? We saw bigger our eyes, and we were able to help the community, and now we've got Port Care as well. What an incredible, all because we stepped out. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? And so, because we're a team together, I want to include the men that helped me in that. We were able to see our future brighter, weren't we? See even clearer what our what we were to do here in the city of Frio. So in verse 10, we decided. Turn to your neighbor and say, we decided. The we there. We decided to leave for Macedonia at once, for we could only conclude that God was calling us to preach the good news there. We boarded. Again, we. We boarded a boat at Troas, and Luke is making the point that he was on this missionary journey with Paul, Silas, and Timothy, and together they believed that the powerful encounter Paul had in the night was evidence that the Holy Spirit wanted them to go to Philippi to preach the good news. Wherever you move in the Holy Spirit, whatever you're going to do, you can expect good news to happen. You can expect good news to explode around wherever you are, because you've got the Holy Spirit in you. You're moving in God. When you make major decisions, you can expect there to be good news. Am I right? We're not going to have bad news if God's in it, are you? It's not going to be bad, but at times you've got to continue through the vision, because at times it wasn't looking so clear here, and those of us have been around a long time, but I'm sure glad we stuck with what God originally told us to do, and we stayed in prayer, and we stayed in the Holy Spirit, just as these guys did, and there was remarkable revival. And so as we stick together, we're going to see God move. And so in many ways, in God's eyes, you know, 14, 15, 16 years, whatever it is, it's only a short amount of time. Wow, what could God do from here this point on? And so together their faith rose, because they were the first going from Asia into Europe. Let's show the quick, I've got a little, what is it, map. It might be a bit hard. Oh, can you see it on that one? You can. So they left from Asia, they took the boat, and they went all the way up, and they went up to Macedonia there, you see on the top left hand side there. And so from there we reached Philippi, the Bible says in Acts 16:12, a major city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We stayed there for several days. Now several days, it's interesting, because it was enough time to actually establish the church. And so the acts of the Holy Spirit help you and I to stay focused on what is specifically that God wants us to do. I've got a quote here from John Stott that says, "The acts of the Holy Spirit drew attention to the double guidance of the apostle and his companions. Namely, on the one hand, prohibition and restraint, so they couldn't go into certain places, they were told to stop. And on the other, permission and constraint." Yes, you can go here, and then it will work itself out as we go along. We need to trust him for guidance in our lives and recognize that God uses others to confirm his will for our lives. We can rejoice in knowing that even when, you know, we might not want it, sometimes we're stopped. It's not always a bad thing. And we've got to trust that God has a different plan or something that he's going to work out. You know, William Carey planned to go to Polynesia, but God guided him to India. Livingstone tried to go to China, but God sent him to Africa instead. Judson went into India first, but was driven out into Burma. So together, we can actually, with the Holy Spirit, we can do incredibly more than we can alone. Secondly, together through the challenges, we will make history. Together through what? The challenges will make history. Who knows that anything worth fighting for, there's a struggle. Anything worth, you know, there's always a fight, isn't there, Sam? You want something in so much, there's always a fight involved. But it's worth it, isn't it? It's always worth it. Together through the challenges, we can make history. Who'd like to make history? Who thinks we're already starting to make history? More the point, too. Come on, we're on the road. We're already starting to make history across into Africa, into Burma, Southeast Asia, into where else? Locally. And also, we're looking at some other areas. Well, you know, Andrew's going to the Philippines at the end of the year. Who knows what might happen? Andrew and my daughter are both going with Louis and Maria. You see, Fremantle was neither on Andrea's radar or mine, and I wanted a town where, back then I was a lot younger, trust me. I wanted a town where pretty much I could walk out the front door and go for a surf. Have you been to South Beach? Have you ever seen a wave there? But you know what? I wouldn't move from here. I tell you, when God puts something in your spirit and your heart, it's the most enjoyable thing you ever do. So whether it's my natural, I just travel now to go for a surf. I haven't given up surfing altogether, but it doesn't matter because I know that God's put us here for a purpose. And so where God's planted you, how important it is to hang in there and allow God to work, because he's put you together and we're here in unity for a reason. And I remember we talked to the leadership of C3 Hepburn Heights about our move, and there was actually 6 months of prophetic word over Fremantle, so I really didn't have an option, did I? Like, it was just like it was coming at me from all sides. And so here we are. There's unity of purpose. And look at this. So we decided to leave. I've got the PowerPoint for this. We decided to leave for Macedonia at once, for we could only conclude God was calling us to preach the good news there. Conclude equals, all right? The definition of conclude is this: to bring together, to put together in one's mind from the variety of the data they concluded together. You know, our local and international support, I just saw the brochure there. Wes had it there. We were going for $50,000. We've gone over $60,000 in faith promises. Over 60. Together. We couldn't do that alone, but together we've done it. Together we've been able to say, you know what, we're not just going to meet that target, we're going to be a blessing to those other people that are far more needy than us. And so that's an amazing thing. Together, Charlie, Greg, Roy, Jane, Renska, Suzanne, Andrea, we all presented together, and together we prayed and believed, and together God has done a remarkable miracle, honestly. Hey, Louis, a remarkable miracle has happened. Over $60,000 in faith promises. And so together we gave. Together we defeated the plans of the enemy over our own lives. Together, Paul, Timothy, Silas, and Luke, the physician, altered history through their missionary journeys. Together, all of us together, we can alter history here in this place and overseas. Together, we can do it. I don't know about you, but I want to be a history maker with you. Come on, let's be history makers together. We can do that. We can, everything that God's on, we can make history about. Surely. If God's into moving out, all we need is a little bit of faith and say, you know what, I reckon that's God. We get a little bit of a consensus from people in and around our circles, and we go, yeah, let's move on. Let's see what God wants to expand in our lives. Let's see more young people in the house of God. Let's see more young adults. Let's start to see with bigger eyes of our future. And so, back to Philippi. Although their stay was only several days, it was eventful. Who knows that when you move in God, it's always eventful. And when you determine to change history through what you are going to do for God, you can expect opposition, maybe even some hardship. But that's when you know that you've nailed the devil. When you're in hardship and things are going wrong, you know that you've nailed the devil. All you've got to do is stick to your vision that God's given you, and you will bury him. See, one of these women is a key to the growth. Lydia was a merchant trader in all of all things purple. Who likes purple here? All purple cloth. She had all this incredible purple cloth, and she was quite a wealthy lady because they went back to her house. It was one of the biggest mansions in the whole area. It was called a villa, and it could not only house her household, which was about 12 people, but also the four of Luke, Paul, Silas, and Timothy. They were all invited to stay there, and they stayed there. So there's 16, and there was still room. Man, that's a big house, isn't it? It's bigger than any of ours, I think. And it says here, look at this. An incident, because they met Lydia and a few other men and women. They're not exactly sure, but we think men and women that they were godly, but because it was basically a Roman city, they didn't have any synagogues like Jews would have, and so they're in Rome there, and they met under a tree on a riverbank, and they were godly people, but hadn't actually made a decision for Christ. And as Lydia and her household and some of the others, her friends, were listening to Paul, they actually made a decision for Christ, and that's how the first church started. In Philippi, but there was this situation, and Paul always had to, he was just one of those, he wouldn't put up with nonsense. He was a bit of a, always takes someone to be a bit out there to actually forge ahead in different areas. And so there was this slave girl, and each morning when they'd go down to meet with the ladies for prayer, this slave girl would actually arc up and say, these people are here to get you saved and turn and repent and turn to Jesus. And Paul had just about had enough of it after a while, and he actually rebukes the demon inside of her. The demon leaves, but then there's all sorts of trouble because now the slave girl's owners actually don't have any income anymore, so that causes a riot. They end up having to go into a prison situation. And so a large family, listen, a large family's already come to Christ. The owners of a slave girl have dragged Paul and Silas off to the authorities. When we step out in God, God has more than we can imagine in store for us, but generally there is opposition. Who's found when they give, suddenly something goes wrong sometimes, but you've got to hang in there. You've got to hang in there because it's going to turn around. And we build our faith because we actually trust God more than we trust our circumstances. Yeah? Same situation here. I remember when we stepped out in God about 16 years ago, it was difficult to see what God had in store for us for many years. But God is faithful when we continue to do that thing that he has asked us to do. When we might miss what God has in store for us because we've got a problem and we decide we're not going to trust God anymore. Bless you. You know, the best thing to do is just to trust God, hey? Regardless of the situation you're in, regardless of what you're going through, the best thing to do is what? Just keep trusting God. Just keep trusting God. Why don't you just turn to your neighbor and say, just keep trusting God. See, Paul and Silas, they end up in prison. Did we get a picture of the prison cell or not? Yeah, show us. I mean, this was some prison. My goodness, look at that. This is down and cut into a hill. They were right at the bottom of the hill. There was rats and all sorts of things. It was damp. And yet, what are Paul and Silas doing? They're singing songs to God. I don't know. I mean, look at that. Would it be reasonably difficult? I mean, I don't know if it, I mean, I know we're in a modern world, but it's midnight and they're singing songs to God. Why are they singing songs to God? They're singing songs to God because they've seen the start of another church. They're singing songs to God because in their hearts, regardless of their circumstances, they can see what God has already accomplished. They're singing songs to God because no matter their hardship, there's Lydia, there's these other men and women that have started the church in Philippi. There was no church, and now there's another church fought forward. So they're refusing to allow their circumstance to be overcome, and they say, I'm trusting in the living God. So they're singing to God. All the jail cells bust open. All of them at once. The jailer's about to kill himself with his own sword because in Roman authorities in those days, if you that was it, you were over. But Paul yelled out just before he was about to kill himself. And he says, no, we're all here. And Paul gathers them all together. There was such a presence of God. The jailer leant down on his knees and says, what must I do to be saved? And him and his household, that very night, they went back to his house and they all became Christians, and then they became a part of the church. Come on! Just keep trusting God. You don't know what God can do. See, when you're on fire, when you're on fire through obeying what God has told you to do, you can get through anything. Suddenly the prison's foundations, bang! You know, the jailer says, what must I do to be saved? Third point, partnership in the gospel. Who'd like to partnership in the furthering of the gospel here through Frio and through what we're doing here? Anyone? How do we do that? See, it would be hard to imagine a more disparate group to start the church in Philippi. Look around you. Look around at the different people around you. I'm telling you, it's pick the Australian here. But listen to this. A businesswoman, the slave girl, and a jailer. They're known, all the commentators say the same. They helped start this church in Philippi. Racially, socially, and psychologically, they were worlds apart. Yet all three were changed by the gospel and were welcomed into the same church. Philippi was a very cosmopolitan city, a bit like Frio, hey? Or Perth, if you like. Let's just make it even bigger. We don't want to just reach Frio people, do we? And having been Greek before, it was now Roman. And Lydia was an Asiatic. She was born from Asia Minor, an immigrant in Philippi. She's not a native. The slave girl was a Greek and a resident. The jailer was an army veteran, undoubtedly a Roman. And each of the three had been brought up in a different national culture, but now in Jesus Christ, they found deep unity. It doesn't matter what culture you're from. It doesn't matter what nationality. It doesn't matter. It only matters that we find the same sense of community, the same oneness, the same togetherness in Christ, and together we can forge forward the gospel of Jesus Christ. Only God could do this, couldn't he? Seriously. And when people come together for the purposes of God, nationality, race, culture, education, workplace are irrelevant. Doesn't matter how educated you are. You know, when we've got the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, it really doesn't matter. And one of the greatest purposes we can have is partnership in the gospel. And Lydia was a wealthy woman who made her money in the rag trade. Her house was large enough to accommodate all those people. The slave girl came from the opposite end of the social spectrum. You could not sink much lower in public estimation than a female slave. She owned nothing, not even herself. No possessions, no rights, liberty, life, nothing. And then there's the jailer, socially halfway between the two women, although He had a responsible post in a local prison. He was a subordinate official in government service. One might say he belonged to the respectable middle class. Yet the merchant trader, Lydia, the slave girl, and the jailer were the foundational members of the Philippian church, admitted into it on the same terms with no distinction. What about their varying personal needs? Lydia would have had an intellectual need, the slave girl a psychological need, more than likely. She just got demonically delivered. The jailer likely had a moral need. And human beings have not changed much throughout the years, but Jesus, turn to your neighbor and say, but Jesus Christ can meet all and fulfill all their dreams and all their expectations and all the purposes. He can work like no other person in unity, regardless of culture, background, anything, it doesn't matter. See, the unifying effect of the gospel is unparalleled to anything else on the planet. The gospel will bind you together in God's family. It unifies those who accept it. In Acts 16, verse 40, it says, so they went out of the prison and visited Lydia. And when they had seen the brothers, they encouraged them and departed. Thanks, Yana. Luke ends the narrative with a reference to brothers. And those brothers being the wealthy businesswoman, the slave girl, and the jailer, and their respective families and households. And we know from Philippians that Paul had to exhort them to stand firm in one spirit. You know, you're always going to have a little bit of an issue here and there, are we? There's always going to be a few things we have to work through. But when we stand firm, because it's the gospel, that we've got a bigger vision than ourselves. My goodness. There will be challenges. Together, they established a thriving church in Europe. Thriving. Can I get us to stand for our feet for just for a moment? Why don't we just all stand for a second? Stay together in the Holy Spirit. Let's make a commitment this morning to stay together in the Holy Spirit. Let's work our issues out, whatever they are, small or great, together in the Holy Spirit. Together we get through the challenges that we will face. Together we will. Thirdly, partnership of the gospel will in itself bring unity. Guard this with all you've got. Recognize when there are problems, when there are situations, and when there's a bit of ugliness that happens in your world, that often it's because the devil's trying to get a hold and stop the good news going forward. So let's keep our spiritual eyes open and recognize that what God has called us to do is good news. Father God, Lord, I pray right here, right now, help us to be in unity through your Holy Spirit. Help us to have the eyes of the apostles, Lord. Let us be acts of the Holy Spirit people here today. We will see your purposes forged forward throughout this land, throughout this great city of Perth, and throughout the areas that you've got us involved in our world, for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. People of God said, amen. God bless you. The music team's going to play a song, but you're welcome to stay or go.